back, Bob, back. Come on.
About every good woman arranges her house when she arrives. And for the next few moments, this is my house. All right. And that'll do. No, actually, it's a little bit, sorry. I'm not usually this bossy, just a little bit lower. Yeah. Just, oh, good. Yeah, good. Yeah, I was preaching one day, and I had a platform or a podium that it would stay there, and it would just slowly go down every time, and I would just have to keep putting it up and putting it up. Brixton Community Church, hello! How we doing? Good to see you. How many have never heard me before? How many are new? Because I know there's lots of new people. Okay, a few. Gosh, yeah, you guys haven't either. I am an American, but I've been here a long time, so it's okay, right? When I first came over about 12 years ago, this is where I landed. God knew what he was doing, and he put me in Brixham. I had a word from God over in America. I won't go through the story, but basically he said, your time in Michigan is done, and I'm sending you over to England. And I thought, well, that's great. How's that going to work? I own a house. I'm, you know, have a very good job and all this kind of stuff. And then I get this phone call from this woman sitting in the front row. And she says, do you remember me? And I'd been over to England the year before. I'd only been here for a couple of days, actually, in Brixham. So you made it. Only been here for a couple of days in Brixham. And she phoned, you know, several months later and said, oh, do you remember me? Yes. Well, God keeps saying you're supposed to live with us. Does that mean anything to you? And in my brain, I'm thinking, I hope you're serious. And I sold my house and packed two suitcases and I landed here. And you are family. You are honestly one of the marks of Brixham Community Church is family. Your family. And you don't get that everywhere. And I travel around a lot. And you don't get that everywhere. There's a distinction of family here. Family sticks together. Family stays with you. Family goes through the good. Family goes through the difficult. But family is there. And that is what is in the air and in the soil and in the seeds of what's been planted for years here. There's something beautiful about the family of God in this place. So don't take it for granted. It's something really, really beautiful and special that you have here. So, happy Mother's Day. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, I believe, privileges is to be a mom. Honestly, I think as a woman, there's nothing greater than to just be a mom. To love that little child and pray into them and see them grow up in God is something beautiful that not many people, not everybody get to experience. And it's a beautiful, beautiful gift. So I honor you because it's the most difficult job in the world as well. My first book, I just really briefly want to mention, because I don't think I have before, I've written a couple of books. And the reason I want to mention this, and I'll say this up front, is because last weekend I was at a women's conference and I had a girl come up to me. And I was surprised the number of people that came up and talked about the books, but there's one in particular that came up, and she said, Jen Baker, can I talk to you? And I said, yes. And she said, I need to tell you something. And she was probably in her early 20s. She said, and she was really nervous. She goes, I've never done this before. I've never done this before. I've never talked to somebody before like this. But she said, I've struggled with anxiety my entire life. And she said, I've not been able to sleep through the night for years, several times a week. And she said, somebody gave me your book, Untangled. And she said, I don't know how to describe it, but I was just answering some of the questions, and suddenly God was in the room, and I could feel him. And she said, with the biggest smile on her face, she said, from that moment forward, I've never struggled with anxiety, and I've slept through the night every night, and that was over a year ago. And the reason I love that is because I really pray over the books that the Spirit of the living God will do what I cannot do. And that is minister to you as you work through them. First one, obviously, is Untangled. It's about getting free from stuff that holds us back. The second one, in fact, I'll just give that to you. Happy Mother's Day. Second one is Unlimited. And this is about really walking out your purpose and all that God has for you, all that God wants to do. In fact, I saw Christine in here earlier. Christina. Did she just go out? We'll give her that book when she comes back in. That'd be great for her. So anyway, those are going to be on sale if you want those. That's my little spiel. Father God, I thank you that you are in this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. God, we are here to encounter you. And as we encounter you, we encounter change. And as we encounter change, Father, you move us into places that we never thought we could go, to become who we never dreamed we could become. And Father God, I pray in this room today, and over these next few moments, that Holy Spirit, you will work in our hearts for the glory of the living God. Amen. Amen. God is very much alive. I absolutely love the worship. Sarah, thank you very much. You got great worship here. Okay, how long have I been away? And how many times do I need to do this every time I come back? I don't have my cue cards with me. You've got great worship here. See, come on, a little bit of noise, a little bit helps the American. I guarantee you, you are going to have a much better morning. Even those of you way in the back, you're going to have a much better morning if you engage verbally with me. So, the Spirit of God is in this place. Yeah, okay, you're getting there. God put a particular phrase in my mind, and I told Jonathan I wanted to change the message, but he just wouldn't let me change the message. So this, you're getting this brand new, this is kind of like hot off the press, because it was a phrase that I just could not shake. And this is the phrase, not now is not no. Not now is not no. It's just not now. And what we're going to do this morning is we are going to dislodge some disappointment, because there are some disappointments that have landed in our lives and lodged themselves in our hearts that need to get out for us to move forward in what God has called us to do. I don't care if you're 15 or if you're 115, you are breathing, so you have purpose. So let's get rid of anything that keeps us from going the direction that God wants us to go. Does anybody have a few things? You don't need to raise your hand, but does anybody have a few things this morning that maybe God wants to dislodge? Because what happens is we hear not now, not now, not now, and we assume God's not now just means no. I've had times in my life, a lot of times, and I might share a bit at the end, where it's been not now, not now, not now, and how many of you know you're like, oh God, surely now, not now. Okay. I get my faith back up. Surely now. Not now. This is it, God. Not now. And if you hear not now long enough, you translate it into no. God didn't say no. He said not now. So don't turn God's not now into a no. It's just not now. I remember as a kid when my dad would come home and I was always like ready at the door and, hey, Daddy, let's play a game. You know, poor guy, the minute he walks through the door, hello, Daddy, let's play a game, let's play a game. And sometimes, bless him, he would put his bag down, take his coat off, and we'd immediately go play a game. And sometimes he would just say no. And I knew when he said no, a no was a no. Like, you didn't mess with that. That no was, okay, we're not playing a game. But if he said not now, I knew I would eventually get him to play a game, because that's what little girls do. Daddy, Daddy, you just give him a little bit of time, and then you come in and you bring him a cup of tea. Daddy, can we play a game? And eventually his not now would become, okay, right now. Hey, up here. Eventually his not now would become right now. Some of you have had not now for a long time. And what God's about to say to you is right now. Right now. There's a verse in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. And it says this, since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. And I love that. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait on him. Now, I don't know about you, but waiting is not one of my favorite things to do. But there's this tension with God that we always go through. You are always in a place of waiting, and you are always in a place of working. So I am waiting on God to do something in my life, but I'm working with what is in my hand at that moment. We don't like to wait, but sometimes we get so focused on the waiting, we need to keep focused on the working. I'm working with what's in my hand while I'm waiting with God. But this is the thing. God is also waiting on us while he's working behind the scenes. He's waiting on us to get ready for what he's working on behind the scenes. So if you're waiting, don't worry. While you're waiting, he's working. And while you're working, he's waiting. Because he's chiseling and preparing and getting us ready for going into the next season that he has. There's some of you about to move into a new season. There's some of you that are on the edge of a new season that God is about to take you into. We have gone through several years of a very difficult season. There's been a lot of almost like walking through treacle that we've been going through. And there are some people in the Spirit of God, you know it because you know that your heart is beating. There's some people that you are literally on the edge of about to step into a brand new season. Things are going to go at a pace that you've not experienced before. You have been walking through treacle, but it is going to be like drawing a line in the sand. You've been treacle up to this point, but it's like torpedo after this point. So you have been pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And some of you have thought, God, it's been not now for so long. Are you sure? Did I hear you? Is this really you? And I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning, there is a line that you have come to. And the minute you cross over that, there is something that is going to happen. And it's going to be a very quick movement forward. Because you've just stepped into a new season. Some of you are right on that edge. Do not get disappointed with not now. Don't let not now disappoint you. Because God's been working behind the scenes. And when you step and you make that flip, suddenly you're in a whole new season. And while you're walking out this season, he's working the next season. What I love in the Amplified Bible is it says this, that no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who gladly wait for him. That's what the Amplified, gladly. Oh, thanks for that. Because I don't very often gladly wait on God. I don't know if you do, but I really struggle to gladly. And I thought, God, how do we gladly wait? What does that mean to gladly wait? And then I thought of Verity. This precious girl back there gladly waiting. Now, she is gladly waiting. Why? Because she's in expectation of something amazing that's about to happen. That's how you gladly wait. So you might be a bit frustrated. You might be, oh, gosh, when, what? But she is gladly waiting because she knows she is about to step into a new season of incredible expectation of God moving on her behalf, bringing her something that she could have never dreamed of, beyond what she could have dreamed. That's why she's gladly waiting. That's why she'll push through the pain. Sorry. That's why, all right, she can do that because she knows on the other side is something amazing. We gladly wait in expectation for an amazing God to work behind the scenes and bring about something that is better than we could dream or even imagine. Oh, people, come on. This is the God that we serve. I'm trying to stir up a little bit of hope. I'm trying to stir up a little bit of faith. I'm trying to stir up a little bit of something, because what happens is we walk out that door and we get hit by Monday. And when Monday's done, we get hit by Tuesday and hit by Wednesday and hit by Thursday. By the time you get to Saturday, you're like, oh God, let me just drag myself to church. And so I'm realigning you to the truth of the Word of God, which is I gladly wait on God because I know what he brings about is good. It's always good because he's a good God who has good gifts, who works all things together for good. That's the God that we serve. So that's why we have to remember not now is not no. I'm going to look in a minute at Lazarus, but just very quickly before that, I want to mention David. King David, we're not going to look at the scripture, but King David. Now, I love King David because he's a perfect example of not now is not no. Because he gets anointed, right? He's out with the sheep. Most of us know the story. He's out with the sheep. Samuel comes up, wants to find a new king, finds, you know, not this guy. Do you not have anybody else? Well, we got this little guy out there with the sheep. Bring the little guy in. They bring the little guy arrives. Perfect. Anoint you. You are going to be the future king, but not now. That's often how God works. This is going to happen in 25 years. It's going to be great, just not now. So what does David do? So David goes back to the sheep, and there's a whole teaching there I won't go into, but he goes back to the sheep, and he waits, and he worships, and he waits, and he worships, and he waits, and he worships in his season of not now. And he fights the lion and the bear with his hands. He takes responsibility for what is in front of him. But there is a shift that takes place. And what's interesting is Saul, who's the current king, calls him and says, come play the harp for me. So he comes thinking, maybe it's now. Not now, go back to the sheep. I need someone to play. Maybe now. Not now, go back to the sheep. You see, some of you have done this journey a number of times, and you're weary of not now. You're thinking, God, when? I'm not going to be let down one more time. But what did David do? He worshiped, and he waited, and he worshiped, and he waited, and he took responsibility for what was in his hand at that moment. And because he did that, at some point a shift took place, and cheese needed to be delivered to the front line. I don't think he thought that was his moment, being a cheese delivery boy. But cheese delivery boy was his moment. Your moment is not going to look like what you think your moment is going to look like. Don't try to figure out when not now is going to become now. Don't try and figure it out. Just know that it's going to happen. And so at one point, he becomes the cheese delivery boy, and he goes to the front line, and he sees Goliath standing there speaking against the presence and the word and the holiness of God. And it so makes him irate, because he had been worshiping and waiting and worshiping and waiting and worshiping and waiting, and he had taken responsibility. And because he had taken responsibility, he now was able to speak with an authority that he wouldn't have had if he had not taken his responsibility. So because he took his responsibility, he didn't battle him hand to hand like he did the lion and the bear. He spoke, and he said, today, you defy the army of the living God. Today, you are coming down, and I am cutting off your. And he flicked a little stone, threw a little stone, and he was down. What you learn in responsibility, you will speak in authority. That's the shift. That's the not now, now. Not now, right now. So don't despise the days of waiting. Don't despise the days of not now. Because what he's doing is he's actually preparing you for the moment he's going to shift you into now. And you're going to hope at that moment that you carry an authority, because he's suddenly moved you into a new season. This is what God has. It might be in prayer. It might be for a relationship. It might be financially. It might be health-wise. I don't know what it is for you, but I want us to get our expectation up that God is about to shift us, that I have spent so much time in worship and waiting and worship and waiting and worship. I'm telling you, Brixham Community Church, you have spent years in worship and waiting and worship and waiting and worship and waiting. Surely at some point there's going to be a switch from not now to right now, and you have got to be ready for that. You are receiving and you are learning right now the responsibility, so you do not speak in the same way into your future. You speak with authority. That's the shift. You've got new leadership coming on. I'm shifting you to a new level of authority. Don't speak in the same way that you spoke. What you needed to do was learn how to worship and how to wait, and now I speak with authority because I've just stepped into a new season, and it's called right now. No more not now. No more not now. So how do you do this? How do you make this shift? Very quickly, three keys. Let's get practical for a minute. Now we're going to look at John chapter 11. another very well-known story. John chapter 11, a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, this illness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, I find that difficult to get my head around. Your best friend is dying, and you happen to be the Son of God. Yeah, I'll get back to him a little bit later. That's one of the biggest not nows of the entire Bible. Yeah, not now. Excuse me? Imagine Lazarus and what he thought. He is laying on his deathbed. I'm sure he's thinking, any minute, my brother Jesus is going to walk through that door. Whew, thanks God that I took time to hang out with him. Thanks that he was, you know, we get on. I'm glad we're really good friends because, you know, he's my answer. Yep, anytime now. Day one goes by. Anytime now, day two goes by. Anytime. Okay, you're really pushing the boat out here, Jesus. No pun intended. He's not showing up. He's not coming through for me. How many of us have felt that? You've not come through for me. You promised this. I saw it. And it didn't happen. How do I get my head around that kind of disappointment? Because disappointment is killing the church. And again, I don't have time to go through this particular teaching, but I want to say this. Disappointment leads to doubt. If you do not deal with your disappointment, you're going to slip into doubt. If you do not deal with your doubt, you're going to move into disillusionment. And if you don't deal with your disillusionment, you'll move into desertion. You may not physically leave, but you will emotionally or mentally step away from a situation. And we see this over and over and over again through the Bible. It happens in relationships, it happens in church, it happens in work, it happens all the time. And it starts with a seed of disappointment. And I'll tell you what, I've gotten some revelation about this, and it's made me a bit angry. Because I think, wait a minute, we are the church of the living God. We have Almighty God up on the throne. We have a God who has overcome death, hell, and the grave. And yet a little tiny seed of disappointment is holding people back from living out a full, free, joy-filled, wonderful life that God has for them. I've gotten a little bit angry about it. I'm sorry, this is a little bit, but I am a little bit angry because I am seeing people's lives be wasted by a little bit of disappointment that they will not just give to God, and they've moved down to doubt. Well, I doubt they care about me. I doubt this is ever going to work. I doubt that's ever going to happen. I doubt I'll ever see this, and then they get disillusioned. Oh, yeah, they said that before. Oh, yeah, he promised that before. Oh, yeah, she said that. Oh, yeah, God, I've heard that one. Thanks, and then they just step away. And yet, where was David? Worship, waiting, worship, waiting. What Jesus did at his best looked cruel, at his worst looked heartless. But what he was doing was preparing for the greatest right now that you could ever imagine. Deal with disappointment. That's number one. Deal with disappointment. The number two is discern the character of God. It's discerning and knowing actually the character of God. If you look at verse 27, now Jesus has come back. Lazarus is dead. Martha, one of the sisters, comes out, says that he's dead. Jesus basically says it's going to be all right. And Martha says this in verse 27, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world. In other words, I believe that you are holy. You see, she did not let her disappointment stop her from recognizing the character and the truth of who God is. Because when we're disappointed, we must always go back to truth. What is true? This is true. God is good. That's true. God is on the throne. That's true. God is a healer. That's true. God is my provider. That's true. God is love. That's true. God's my redeemer. That's true. God's my best friend. That's true. God is with me. That's true. Even if I can't feel him, I know he knows the number of hairs on my head. That's true. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. That's true. I'm the apple of his eye. That's true. He's coming alongside me. That's true. He is for me. He's not against me. That's true. He's got a hope and a future for me. All of that is true. I worship and I wait, and I worship and I wait. And when I do that, and I stay in a place of truth, and I see the character of God, that's what moves me toward right now. So she acknowledged the truth of him. But then you see a little bit later, Mary, the other sister, same experience, same disappointment. She hasn't dealt with the disappointment the same way, because she comes out and she says, my brother is dead, and stops right there. She doesn't declare the truth. Jesus says, my brother is dead. And what happens then? One of the most famous verses, verse 35, Jesus wept. The compassion of him comes out. You know, he doesn't judge us. If you think, gosh, I've been in this place of disappointment, yes, I'm over there. Can I just tell you, the heart of God toward you is not judgment right now. The heart of God toward you is love. The heart of God towards you is compassion. I'm not here to say this is what you should do and bad for you that you've not done it all this time. And if you are disillusioned or deserted, that's bad, 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 bad. No, the heart of God is compassion and love. And he says, come on back. Just come on back. It's going to be all right. It is going to be all right. I say that all the time with my staff. Another hat that I wear is I oversee an anti-trafficking ministry, and we have safe houses across the north, and we've got 80 different staff in several different houses, and it's chaos and stress 99.9% of the time. And my staff know, my main phrase, anytime they're phoning me up or there's a crisis, everything is going to be all right. Yes, but everything is going to be all right. That's a word for someone right now. Everything is going to be all right. It's going to be all right. That's the compassion of God. It's going to be all right. Jesus and Mary, it's going to be all right. I know your heart is broken. It's going to be all right. I am with you. I will not leave you. I'm walking this journey together. And you are not going to be stuck in not now for very long. It's all right. You've got to deal with your disappointment to discern the character of God. And if you then can discern the character of God, then you can move on to the last one. And the third one is this: to develop your faith. Verse 41, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Now, sometimes I love to read the Bible anyway, but sometimes I love to just imagine. I often imagine what really happened. And I love to imagine a backstory. Now, I realize that David Petz is sitting right here, so this is not really theologically 100% solid, but he doesn't mind. It's okay, right? It's going to be okay. Because sometimes it helps to just stretch your imagination and think. And then God can drop things in when you do that. Not that you think things are heretical, but you think, well, maybe this could have happened. So if you need to close your ears, that's all right. But I think maybe this could have happened. Jesus was standing right there, and they took away the stone, and he looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Now, this is what I think was going on at the same time. At the same time they are rolling away the stone, I think up in heaven you've got Father God was sitting on the throne, and Lazarus was standing right next to him, and he was having a conversation with Lazarus, and he was saying, I know it's really great up here. I know it's quite palatial, isn't it? I know you really don't want to leave, but the girls down there need you. They need you now. I know, Lazarus. I know, buddy. I get it. You'll be back, right? But I need you to go back down and help your sisters. And he's having this conversation. At the same time, the stone is being rolled away. And Jesus is praying and saying, Father, I thank you. You hear me. And Father God, as he's talking to Lazarus, hears that. And he says, I always hear you. And the reason I think he said that is because then what Jesus says, I know you always hear me. Who's he talking to? Why did he have to say, I know you always hear me? So I think God's having, I always hear you, boy. Yeah, I know you always hear me. I said it for their benefit. And it's like they're having this little conversation between the two of them. And then God the Father continues talking to Lazarus while he finishes with Jesus, and he's, you know, yapping on down there. And he says to Lazarus, I just want you to know, when you get down there, it's going to be dark. It's going to be dark. You're not going to be able to see where you're going. It's going to be a little bit scary. But buddy, all I need you to do is listen for his voice. His voice will lead you out. And then we're back to Jesus. Lazarus, come out. And out he walks. That was his right now moment. I bet if Jesus had left immediately to heal him, the story would probably not be in the Bible. But Lazarus didn't know that when he was laying on his deathbed. But he went from not now to right now in a moment. But the level of faith that you need to raise someone from the dead is slightly different to the level of faith you need to raise someone or pray for someone for healing. He had to up his level of faith to raise it to the level of the circumstance and what it needed. But the reason he could do that is because he had walked through these stages. I'm telling you what, some of you need to raise the level of your faith, but in order to do that, you need to get rid of your disappointment. You need to know the character, discern the character of who God is for you, get yourself back aligned, and then you can speak with the authority that you need to at the level of faith that you need for where you are at. Raising someone from the dead, I mean, it's not difficult for God. I've tried it with a squirrel. Couple of years ago, I was in St. James Park, sitting with a group of friends, having a little, it was kind of our last Bible study of the year or something like that, a little small group thing, and we're sitting there, and suddenly, ka-dum, and literally not this far from me, ka-dum, there was a squirrel, and I'm like, oh, I said, girls, it's a squirrel, and I'm like, maybe he's just unconscious. They're like, Jenny's dead. And the thing, I don't know if he had a heart attack, committed suicide, I'm not quite sure which one it was. But I'm kind of poked him a little bit, and he was well and truly dead. But we were in the middle of a Bible study. I thought God could raise a squirrel from the dead. So I said, come on, we're going to pray that he gets raised from the dead. They're like, Jen, honestly. I'm like, come on, I've got faith. We're going to pray that he gets raised from the dead. So I'm like, here we go. I said, you got to start somewhere. So let's start with an animal. It might be easier than a person. So I'm exercising my faith. And they're like, we're not going to do this. So I'm standing by the squirrel. I'm like, God, come on. And I genuinely felt it. I thought, this poor little guy, maybe he slipped. He didn't mean to die. You know, it wasn't his time. Oh, come on. Honestly, have a little bit of pity. I love squirrels. I love, love, love squirrels. So I'm like, come on. I said, Jesus, I know you love him. He's one of your creatures. This would be amazing and make a great sermon illustration if you could just raise him from the dead. Come on, in Jesus' name, be raised. Okay. Nothing. Yeah, he's dead. Okay. So then I went to find the keeper of the park, whatever you call them, warden-ish guy. And I said, there's a squirrel that's died. And I said, I think he needs to be put somewhere. I could read his mind. He's like, oh, God, it's an American. I said, please, sir. I said, he's in the middle of the park. It's not really nice for him. He said, a squirrel. I said, yes. I said, you wouldn't want to lay dead in the middle of a park. All right, show me where the squirrel is. So I'm like, he's just, so I walked him over to it. You know what he did? He, you know those like trash picker-upper things? He picked up the squirrel, and so the guy's like hanging now all the way through the park. And I was like, oh, come on. I thought, Jen, just, all the girls were like, Jen, just be quiet. Jen, just be quiet. Jen, just be quiet. It takes a different level of faith to raise the dead than it does to pray for the sick. The next season you're going into, you need a new level of faith. But you're going to get this new level of faith by knowing the character and the presence of God, and also by dealing with your disappointment. Sarah, can you come up? There's one last scripture I want to read. And this is what ties it together. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Now most of us, in fact, don't put it up yet. Sorry, take it back down, if you don't mind. There we go. Most of us know this scripture in the NIV, which is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I think that's how it goes, something along those lines. Basically, seek God, and we love the second part. And all these things will be added unto you. We love that one. Oh, we quote that one. Great verse. Matthew 6, verse 33. Yes. Seek God and all these things. Just seek God. You know, preachers up here. Just seek God and all these things will be given to you. What has always annoyed me is God did not stop there, but he allowed Matthew to add verse 34. Now, I really don't like verse 34. I've never liked verse 34. I've never understood why verse 34 was in the Bible. Because again, in the NIV, it says something about, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. Oh, well, you know, thanks for the reminder. Because in verse 33, you're like, seek God. Ah, and all these things will be given to you. Everything that I need is provided for. And it's almost like verse 34 is just hanging around over here. Just like, bothering you. Have you ever been, you know, just bothered by somebody hanging around you? It's like one of those people that just nags you. Verse 34 is a bit of a nag. Like, I'm just in God's glory. Oh, you're going to provide, and he's just nagging me, but it's not going to last long because tomorrow you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. Just want to remind you, there's trouble coming up tomorrow. I don't know if anybody else doesn't like verse 34, but I have never liked it. Every Bible I have, I've highlighted 33, I've circled it, but I've not even touched 34 because I don't like it. I've starred 33, but I've totally ignored 34 because I don't like 34 because it reminds me that there's trouble coming up tomorrow. Well, thank you, like I didn't know. But then I read it in the Message Bible. Whole new revelation. If God gives such attention, where did we start it? Oh, sorry, you can pull it up now. Yeah, keep it there. That's even better. This is what he's saying, steep your life. Well, let me read the little bit before. It says, people who don't know God and the way he works fuss over all these things. They fuss over what's going to happen. But you know God and how he works. Therefore, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provision. Don't worry about missing out. You will find that all of your everyday human needs will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard thing comes when they do. Now, this is what I saw. Steep your life, God reality, God initiative. Steep your life in God right now. This is the now. Because all things are provided for now. He said, don't worry about then. Focus on now. The reason we do that is because the minute I've stepped into then, it's actually now. You see, when I arrive into tomorrow, it's actually today. And what is in today? What's in now? God reality. God initiative, God provision, God's goodness, God's glory. Everything I need is right now, is right here. That's why I don't need to worry about then, because the minute I get there, it's now. And it's covered by everything that I need. Stay in the now. Not now is not no. I can tell you this because I'm walking the journey with you. I am doing this journey alongside you. I have had years and years and years of not now, not now, not now. But what I have discovered is when I deal with my disappointment, it frees me up to receive everything that God has. I'm going to very quickly share something, and so I want to ask that the recording be stopped and the video be stopped.